Hello, everyone. How about we start out this week's Adagio with a pop quiz? Oh, no, come on. It's not that bad. For some of you, it's going to be a cinch. Ready? See if you recognize this. Oh, I see a lot of hands shooting up back there, clever listeners that you are. It's the opening to one of the best love piano concerts recorded in the 20th century. An extraordinary event in contemporary music. A concert that ran afoul of numerous last-minute snafus and came within a hair's breadth of not happening. In 1975, when he was 29, Keith Jarrett was performing a European series of solo piano concerts. And on a dismal, rainy Friday night on the 24th of January, 50 years ago this week, 1975, he was scheduled to perform at the Opera House in Köln, West Germany. The concert promoter was but 17 years old, a woman named Vera Brandis, and as she and Jarrett had agreed, she would arrange to have delivered to the Opera House one of the world's finest pianos for the event, an Imperial Concert Grand by the 150-year-old Viennese manufacturer Bösendorfer. But confusing matters, the practice piano for the Köln Opera House was itself a Bösendorfer, but a baby grand that was in very sorry shape. Nevertheless, the stagehands got their signals crossed, brought this piano up from the lower levels, and moved it into position for the evening's performance. When the error was discovered, Brandis did all she could to get the concert grand delivered, but it was too late. Transporting such an instrument without proper preparation on a rainy night in January could ruin it, and Brandis had no choice but to settle for the house piano that was tinny and thin in the upper registers, weak in the bass register, the pedals did not work properly, and would require several hours to bring into tune. But highest hopes be damned, she had no choice. When Jarrett arrived late in the afternoon, sleep-deprived, weary after a long drive from a previous concert in Zurich, he had not slept well for several nights due to back pain, had been driving all day in a back brace, and was in no mood for further upset. When Brandis explained the mix-up and showed him the only piano available for the evening, Jarrett, known, shall we say, to be particular in the extreme, ran off a few riffs on it and, venting a maestro's fiery displeasure, snatched up his coat and hat and stormed out, Brandis right behind him, begging him not to walk out on her and the sold-out event scheduled to begin in a few short hours. But Jarrett was not having it and was already in his car, the motor running, with Brandis pleading with him when something shifted. Was it something she said? Her look of utter desperation? Was she beginning to cry? Who knows? But at last he relented. Thank you. The concert was scheduled for 11:30 that evening, after the conclusion of an opera performance. The only time Brandis could get for the performance, as jazz had never before been staged at the Opera House, the managers considering it too risky a venture. Brandis had made dinner reservations for Jarrett, but another mix-up with the waitstaff caused such a delay he was only able to eat a few bites before she was forced to drag him out and rush him back to the opera house. Now he is upset all over again and is once more ready to walk on the whole affair. But when he walks in and sees the packed house and the recording engineer set up and ready to roll, he said something to the effect, "Oh, God. Okay, screw it. We'll do the best we can with what we've got, and to hell with it. Let's go." When Jarrett began piano lessons, he wasn't quite 3 years old. He played for a TV audience at the age of 5 and gave his first formal recital at the age of 7, playing a selection of classical pieces and a few of his own compositions. After high school in Allentown, Pennsylvania, he moved to Boston to attend the Berklee School of Music, playing cocktail music in the bars to make ends meet, and after a year dropped out and moved to New York, where he was soon booked into the Village Vanguard. And on he went from there, ranging into jazz, blues, gospel, and folk, joining and forming groups with Jack DeJohnette, Art Blakey, Jan Garbarek, Miles Davis, Charlie Hayden. The concert in Köln was part of a European solo tour Jarrett began in 1973. And till then, he had been playing in trios and quartets, and Miles had been urging him to abandon the piano for the organ and the electric piano. And for a while he did, but it did not suit him. And this European concert tour was a return to what he loved best. Himself at the piano, with no music, not even a composition in mind. The concerts were completely spontaneous. Improvised from first note to last, with nothing to guide him but decades of training, wide-ranging experience, and his muse. In fact, it was his considerable prowess at improvisation that saved the whole evening, as he was able to work around the problems of the piano and minimize its shortcomings with right-hand riffs and rolling left-hand rhythmical figures that gave the effect of stronger bass notes and concentrating his playing in the middle portion of the keyboard. In the end, the engineers came up with a double album of the performance entitled Köln Concert, and it quickly became the largest selling solo piano recording of all time, and the largest selling solo jazz recording on any instrument yet to date. Sales said to number at last count some 3.5 million copies. By a wide margin, it remains Jarrett's most popular record and continues to sell well decades after its debut. Thank you. Jarrett went on to release more than a dozen similar records, but to my ear, none of them is the equal of what he did that rainy night in Köln. So let's back out and start over with the opening section of Keith Jarrett's Köln concert from January 24th into the wee hours of the 25th, 50 years ago this week, 1975.
Thank you.
You're listening to Adagio with your host Drew Darling, and we're listening to samples of Keith Jarrett's Köln concert, recorded 45 years ago this week, a completely improvised concert that found its way around the problem areas of a neglected piano that was never intended for the evening's concert.